Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
They've got something new now. It's called the Press Box.
You're back in the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
One in the books, two to go. Second hour of the show. It's Press Box on ESPN. Appreciate all the participation today. Lots of calls. Lots of people interacting. So, a lot of fun.
I guess
Marvin, no need to apologize for your calls. Fine. Someone said, isn't White Castle a big deal in Chicago for their burgers? Shane said that in Clear Lake. It's exactly why they shouldn't be on the list of quality food. Because a White Castle burger is not quality food. That is a grease soaker upper after a good night of drinking.
Barry has told me this. I told you the story about me going to Indiana, and I made the request to go to White Castle only because of the movie Harold and Kumar. Yep. And everybody looked at me like I was insane, and we're not going to White Castle. That's basically what I was told when I was in Indiana. So, I mean, I guess, like you said, for late night, greasy, drunk people food, maybe it does the trick, but.
Yeah, other than that, I love Chicago as a city. It's really fun. I lived, 90 minutes away or less, mm-hmm. and we'd go there a lot, and there was a whole lot to do. But I give them credit for pizza. I understand it for hot dogs. I just don't understand the burger.
I don't either. I don't either at all.
Someone said our conversation about the incognito would have been great for Todd in the pickup line. Unfortunately, that's over because school is.
Yeah.
So Todd's off the hook.
No more pickup line.
And he can't call the nice ladies that work at the school fat anymore. Because that's what he did.
He did.
He's a bad human being when he does those things.
And she probably doesn't have an easy job. It's a difficult job. And then you go off and call her fat.
It was very mean-spirited, Todd. That's why we do what we do to you. Because of the fact that you're mean-spirited to others when this boxer community is so tight-knit. All right, so we did the Astros fight.
Which we did. You want to go to another fight?
Yeah, let's go to the other two. Because I did not see... ESPN tried to highlight and spot shadow the New York fan that tried to spit on Trae Young. But they are very adamant about the fact that they have video that correctly portrays a fan as being
intentionally
spitting or at Trae Young.
And that's what I said, too. I'm like, from the clip that you see going around on Twitter,
yep.
unless there's another video angle that I didn't see, from the one I saw spinning around on Twitter and on YouTube and on the internet last night, you see what appears to be a loogie.
Yeah.
And you can't even really tell whether or not it lands on Trae Young. I'm not saying it isn't.
Is that where it's on the sweatshirt or the jersey on the front when it landed?
It looked like it landed on his back or maybe on his head. I really don't know. But you don't see the guy's face. You just see some loogie pop off, and then next thing you know, there's like a shot of Derrick Rose looking up. I don't know if he's shocked at the video replay or the scoreboard. In any case, MSG found out he wasn't a season ticket holder. They have indefinitely banned him. They put out a statement on it. And look, I'll say it again. We talked to some legal analyst, I guess, texted or called in and said, there's such thing as simple assault or assault when you spit on somebody.
Right. Bodily fluids of any kind, Sean.
Take his ass to jail,
Well, where are you on the popcorn? So the other incident, if you missed it, and this is also weird.
I'm okay with charges on that, too.
So Russell Westbrook, and there's so many different elements to peel back on this. He's hurt. He sprained his ankle. So he's leaving the court injured with team personnel around him. So that's one thing where you should never think about doing something like this
of course.
At all, let alone to someone that's hurt. Secondly, the Sixers had the tunnel that the Wizards were using covered with a tarp as the roof of the tunnel, but yet at the end of it, there was an opening.
Correct.
So that the guy with the popcorn could dump it on Westbrook's head.
Not cool, but this is what it sounded like on NBC Philly.
This is just plain stupidity. Somebody pouring some popcorn and any athlete, being Westbrook or whomever, they are pumped with their adrenaline. He's probably feeling bad. His team may be en route here to losing this game, too. Just a stupid thing to do.
Now, in the post-game presser, there was a reporter who said, I'm not sure, but I think they kicked him out. And Russell Westbrook was quick to say, no, he ran out. He got away. He didn't get kicked out. He got away. So I don't know who's right in that dynamic.
Well, they got him.
They did?
Yeah, because the ESPN, the Sixers put out a statement that says, we apologize to Russell Westbrook and the Washington Wizards for being subject to this type of unacceptable and disrespectful behavior. And as part of their statement, they said there's no place for it in our sport or arena. The fan punished. Evidently, it says that...
Oh, they revoked his season pass. Season tickets is what they did.
He gets indefinitely banned from the Wells Fargo Center as well. And he deserves every bit of this. Look, I mean, I know there's people that are saying, throw the book at him, arrest him. This is assault, too. I have other people that are telling me, Joel, it's just popcorn. He needs to get over it.
No.
And the bigger issue is, and this is why the NBA, again, had to come out. If you remember, in Philly a few years ago, a grown-ass man in a Sixers jersey double-flipped the bird at Westbrook in his face. And so there's history of this. That Russell Westbrook in Salt Lake City. And then the guy that the one was the guy saying the verbal assault. The other one, member, was the guy where Russ was all heated leaving the court and he stuck his phone in his face and then Russ slapped the phone out of his hand.
Correct. I remember that. And he made reference to those incidents in the post-game presser.
As players, and obviously if you're a good player and people want to bash you for whatever reason, that is, I don't mind it. I don't mind the trash talk of, you know, whether it's Westbrook suck, Westbrook you can't shoot, Westbrook you can't do that. That's all great. But once you cross the line, you start mentioning family, you start mentioning derogatory things, you start to pour popcorn, all that type of shit. Like, to me, it's crossing the line, and that's where it has to stop.
I mean, I agree with that. I mean, I think when you start, it's not, I guess, because everybody's going to say, well, it's just popcorn. But it's more of a physical assault. It's more because something is hitting the player proper. It's not just words. It's one thing to say, well, if spit came out of his mouth. But if the spit's intentional, that's a problem. If it's popcorn, next time it could be a beer. Next time after that, it could be something else. And you know what? It gets dangerous. We know the Raiders fans. We know forever in New York, they used to throw batteries at fans. Like, who brings a battery to a game anyway? But the fact that they're not shy about, former Rocket Eddie Johnson was talking about, he once played in a game where they were throwing coins. One hit him below the eye, and he needed stitches.
Oh, so that's, and look, they can get out of hand. And the thing is, a lot of times, these are full-grown adults. Like, remember when Marcus Smart, this is before he was even in the NBA.
Yeah, I do remember that.
There was enough full-blown adult talking mess to Marcus Smart under the goal. And this is in his college days. So you're basically talking mess to a kid who's, what, 18, 19, 20 years old, and you're a grown-ass man talking mess in his ear. This is how immature some of these fans are. It's unreal.
He played at Oklahoma State. I want to say it was on the road at maybe Oklahoma.
I don't remember where. I remember the incident. I remember where it was. I remember him being under the goal.
Yep. And I remember it, too. And you're right. I mean, this is where the line is crossed. Again, this is also the misconception. And I know no one reads the back of the ticket, right?
Yeah, who cares?
But there are people that think, and we've had this happen recently with some of the other topics we've brought up with this, they think that once they buy the ticket, they have the right to say whatever they want. Now, you can't physically assault or put your hands on or throw things and hit one of the participants in the game. But they feel like, I bought a ticket, I can say whatever I want. No, if you read the back of the ticket, you actually can't. That's verbal assault when you use certain language and say certain things.
Normally, profanity is not allowed. So like Russell Westbrook said, you could probably say he sucks. He's a bad shooter. He's a triple-double hog, for example, if that's what you want.
I'm shocked that he actually admitted he's a bad shooter. He wouldn't do that here.
I mean, he's heard it enough, I guess. Over the course of three teams or four teams, I guess it catches up to you eventually. I don't know. I mean, look, you can't say that. I've done immature things in my life. I've gone to Rockets games at the age of 10, 11, and 12. I didn't swear at anybody, bro. I did not.
I never did it. I would never cuss.
There's no way in hell I would have
done
that.
As an adult, I have. When I was just a fan, not...
No. As a kid, I did not do that. I got my smart assness actually grew when I got older because I know how to pick my spots a little bit. But like as a kid, I would never even think of doing something like that. Now, if you're an adult, it's just more embarrassing to me. It's just way more embarrassing to
me. All right. So Dr. Phil Sharara.
Okay.
I want your answer on this one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we already went through the whole would you or should you have gotten involved if you were a bystander in the fight at Minute Maid, right?
Right.
Should you get involved and get in the middle of this if you see this happen?
I would snitch. I'd point them out.
Because that's what Sixer fans did. And it actually surprised me in a good way. Philly fans can be so vile.
Yeah.
That I would not have expected them. I would have expected them to cheer him on and be like, good job, dude.
Yeah.
But instead, as the story states, fans actually were the ones that kind of subdued him a little bit and narked on him and said, it's that guy right there. And then I saw security walking with him as he was trying to get up the aisle to get out.
Yeah.
So I would assume that they got all of his information right away. But kudos to the fans that actually
pointed
did
him
take
out.
Matters into their own hands and say, that's the dude right there.
I mean,
there.
I feel like if the security guard or the officer came up next to the section that I was in and said, hey, which direction did he go in? I'd point. I mean, I wouldn't, you know.
But would you call the guy out personally and go, white shirt, red hat, right
there? Yeah, I probably would. If they asked him, I would say he's in a white cap and he just went up this section right here. He went towards the restroom. I would say something like that. It wouldn't bother me one bit to do so. And look how angry Russell Westbrook is. Let me tell you something. How many times have I talked, because you make fun of me because I always make comments about his body and how
I don't make fun
blessed he is and stuff in terms of his body. If there wasn't four or five guys holding his ass back, there would be a whole nother run
Artest
situation.
We'd be Vernon Maxwelling you're right.
It would be another, what is it, Malice in the Palace?
Yes.
It'd be a whole nother, you think you were to, if there was one person I don't think would have been able to stop Russell Westbrook, he would have went into those stands and punched that dude in his face.
And this is another good thing, Nick, this is a good point to bring up, because it's not the first time he's been through this. We just pointed out four or five times that he's gone through this. At a certain point, every man has a breaking point. Like, I can't keep taking this abuse. The league came out with a statement today that they are going to do what they need to do to up security and make sure that these kind of things don't happen.
Sure they are.
But again, just like what we were talking about with the Astros and the section full of Dodger fans, you needed to be more proactive than this. The minute you started letting fans back in, you're not letting fans back in the building for a regular season game against the Cavaliers. You're letting fans in at the most important time of the season, when they are the most passionate, which is the playoffs, which means, again, whether it's a heated rivalry like the Dodgers and the Astros, or it's the Sixers and the Wizards, you have to be prepared for the fact that let's make sure that we know we're expecting anything and prepared for everything instead of reacting once something happens you didn't expect.
Yeah, look, there's no question that there's some sort of proactive measure that needs to be taken. And, you know, to the NBA's credit, they have tried. I'm not saying it's worked, but they do things to kind of, like, there's no alcohol sales in the fourth quarter. That's not just at the Rockets venue. That's at every NBA venue, for example, right? They have little messages and disclaimers and videos before the game start. Hey, as fans, this is what you can do. This is what you can't do. This is what's fun. We want you to have fun. We want you to enjoy the atmosphere and the environment inside the venue. That's what they do, but it's just not enough, particularly when alcohol sales are involved. So
you again bring up that point, because that's a factor in seemingly all of this.
It has to be 70-80% of the reason why all this is happening. It has to be.
My boy Paul Bodwin is a Sixers fan. The dude that threw the popcorn looked just like him, and that's something he might do. So I was like,
what's his name again?
Paul Bodwin.
Is it that guy? Is it him?
It's Clutch the Bear's brother. Paulie's a good friend of mine, and he's got a Sixers tattoo and everything. And at first I looked and I went, oh my God, Paulie's in Philly. And then I was like, oh, thank God. He didn't need to get in the middle of all that. So we'll continue to roll on. Just getting started with the second hour of the program. We go all the way till 4 o'clock. Then the Blitz takes over till 7. So you got your afternoon lineup all laid out for you. He's Nick. I'm Joel. We're the Press Box. Back with more ESPN.
My name is Stephen A. Smith and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sharara.
So, the NBA put out a statement. And again, it would have been a lot more effective if it was put out at the start of the playoffs. and security measures were ramped up before anything happened. And we had two separate incidents last night in the NBA, one in Major League Baseball. But the NBA said the return of more NBA fans to arenas has brought great excitement and energy to the start of the playoffs, but it is critical that we all show respect for players, officials, and our fellow fans. An enhanced fan code of conduct will be vigorously enforced in order to ensure a safe and respectful environment for all involved. Too little too late, in my opinion.
Well, they had to publish something.
But that's more CYA, right? It would look proactive if they did it at the start. It would not look as proactive now.
I guess we got a bunch of gangsters in the Twitch chat. I wouldn't be mad. Well, I wouldn't say the word gangsters, but they act like they would be okay with being popcorn thrown at them. And that the NBA players are being the vajayjays. And look, I'm on board with calling NBA players vajayjays because I do think they're soft sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But don't act like you're not going to get mad about popcorn. Like your boy Megablast here on the
JD
Twitch.
JD talks a great game.
JD, do you remember calling into the Josh Ennis show and getting all riled up over the Aggies? And you're telling me you're not going to get mad about popcorn? You get mad about the most minute things, bro. Come on. Come on, bro.
This is my biggest thing. And I said this during the break. This all started years ago in D.C. back when they were the Bullets. There was a pretty well-known attorney that had seats right behind the visiting team bench named Robin Ficker. Robin Ficker.
Not Robin Thicke.
No. Robin Ficker was a season ticket holder. So what he did was he would do research on every player. And he would find out dirt. And then during the game, he would intentionally bring out the most under-the-skin dirt he could on every single player. A lot of guys thought it was funny. A lot of times he made it funny. But there were certain times that it flew back then. It would not fly now.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see, I mean, I could see Kwame Brown, what if he was like a Kwame Brown talking trash to Matt Barnes, like on the court, saying, Derek Fisher done. You know what?
Yeah.
That'd be kind of funny. But I don't know how everybody would react to that.
But here's the thing too, Nick. The other thing that I was saying during the break with the Twitchers is, you think about this. It gets old. I don't care how much money you make. This is Russ's, fifth or sixth
running,
right?
Yeah.
And some it's physical. A lot it's verbal. We remember the Vernon Maxwell situation on two separate occasions because they crossed the line. And no matter what you make, you shouldn't have to take the amount that they take. And at a certain point, we all have a boiling point or we have a trigger. They may, if they just call you names, it's one thing. But if they call your family names or if they pull a Robin Ficker and they know that somewhere in your past you had some either embarrassing or bad moment and they go to that level.
Yeah.
We all have a point in which we just can't hold back anymore, and we're going.
You make such a good point, because a lot of it is accumulation. Like, honestly, if you had, like, a yo mama joke or if you were, like, being, like, really offensive towards my mom, I'll be honest with you, I probably won't go that crazy about it. But if it's accumulating and you're doing it all the damn time, then you know what? You might get a reaction out of me. You get what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I will let go a lot of verbal things. Like, you could say a lot of things verbally, and in a way, you're forced to kind of let it go. You kind of have to. What are you going to do? Get mad at every single person that says something to you verbally? But at the same time, accumulation, that affects every human, because that's human nature. Accumulation of something you don't want to accumulate kills you.
It's also, everybody said, well, be thick. Get some thicker skin. You know, it's one thing, and I felt bad for Trae Young, because this is something you and I talked about the other day.
Yeah.
Again, New York fans doing exactly what I'm talking about. New York fans, it's one thing if, hey, F you, Trae Young, or Trae Young, you suck. But the fact that the chants from 20,000 people turn to, you are balding. At a certain point, that's got to hit you a certain way.
It does. It does.
You can say it doesn't bother you, but that's got to get under your skin.
What ends up happening is they should be strong enough in the public to say, yeah, it doesn't bother me. I'm not worried about it. I have no concern. I X that out. And then behind closed doors, you have no idea how he's feeling about it. So,
and JD, you keep talking about who, You call Russell names. Russell's fifth or sixth incident because he is a weak-minded MF. I guarantee you on the street, you wouldn't say it to him. And if you did, I guarantee if all things were equal and there was no opportunity for lawsuit, he'd whoop your ass. Because that's what the people miss in all of this. These are still world-class athletes. You look at him on TV and you think, oh, you know what? He doesn't look all that bad. But in person, I said to you, Luka Doncic looks like he's a point guard on TV. He's 6'8".
Yeah.
It's crazy that kid's only 22.
Russ is the perfect combination. I don't care if he can shoot or not. Russ's strength, his athleticism, and his size, you're not saying that to him at the peak of his physical condition and when you're sitting there worried about barbecue and French fries.
And most people are way nicer in person. We know this. We know this. Largo says Dr. Linville is reaching out to Trae Young today.
It's a good call. And you know what? As we covered yesterday, he has options because Doc Linville also has
He does boob jobs.
Yeah, so he can do the job in more ways than one, Trae.
Yeah.
But, I felt bad for Trae Young on that one.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think he noticed it, to be honest with you. I think...
Did you see him, though?
I saw him. He didn't look like he reacted to it. I think it was another angle that we didn't see that they saw that clearly shows him spitting on him. I'm not sure. Look, Trae Young he's breathing hard. He's sweating. He may have not noticed it.
Did you see he kept kind of moving his shoulders.
He did that, so maybe he felt it.
So yeah, maybe because if it's a loogie and it's got some thickness to it, you would feel that as opposed to just like you're perspiring already. So if it's just straight,
but liquid, he was moving like it was like a spray.
Yeah,
or something.
Like he could feel it.
Yeah.
So it's just overall, it's a bad look. And again, everybody's being critical because it was just popcorn. And you're the P word if that's what sets you off. If it's accumulation and a culmination of 5 to 6 events more in your career, because who knows how many that we just don't know about.
Yeah.
It builds up to the point where everybody's got a boiling point. And so you don't know. It's just like we don't know all the details in the Astros fight. What I'm saying is, until you can put yourself in their shoes and stop referencing the bank account, I'm only referencing the abuse, and realize at a certain point, you're not taking it anymore. And that's why teams and individual players hired security guards, because they needed to pay closer attention to securing their most valuable commodity, which is their players. So there's that. All right, we'll continue to roll on. Astros are off tonight, so they're not playing. NBA playoffs do continue. We can talk about some of those other games that happened last night and those that are coming up tonight, as well as things that you want to get into. 713-780-3776 for calls and text. Otherwise, hit us up on Twitch and Twitter. It's Press Box on ESPN. I'm never coming down.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
I'm drawing a picture in my mind of our friend 832 ending in 2225. It's one thing to call me PC and take shots at me, right?
Now is
when they text, and we don't know if it's a he or she, but I'm drawing other pictures because this is the latest one. NBAers are being soccer flopping p words. Popcorn is a right of a fan to throw.
Such a dumb moron.
You're an idiot.
You're a moron, bro.
Complete idiot.
Keep texting, but you're a moron.
Right? I mean,
it's not your right to throw popcorn. You got to be trolling. You're either trolling or you're a moron. One of the two. So. I think this would be one good topic to kind of wrap up the NBA, unless you got more on it, Joel. I'm completely okay.
Bring it.
But one more NBA topic. Remember Kwame Brown and the Matt Barnes situation?
Yep.
Well, not only did he go at Matt Barnes, he also went at
Stephen Jackson.
No, Stephen A. Smith.
Did you see Stephen A. Jackson actually had to retract a tweet because I guess he got a little bit crossing the line, threatening him with violence?
Yeah, but he's not the one that I have an issue with.
Oh, okay.
It's Stephen A. Smith.
I really didn't want to do this. I really didn't want to do this. I was going to leave Kwame Brown alone. I wasn't going to say a damn word. But all of these videos, all of these lengthy videos, on top of people emailing me and bothering me because of something Kwame Brown had to say? Like I'm supposed to be scared? Okay. We'll see how scared I am. Stephen A.'s World. ESPN Plus. Tonight. Tell me if I'm scared then.
Come on, bro.
Seriously.
What are you going to do on ESPN Plus?
Did you see what he did this morning?
No.
He's a massive Knicks fan, right? So first, yesterday, he's braggadociously saying, I'm going to be, you know, yelling at volume 11. I'm going to be courtside in New York. Matter of fact, I'm going to be courtside in Atlanta. I'm going to be courtside root on my Knicks, and I'm going to be there, and I'm going to be there. Then, pregame and postgame, he makes sure he's got all Knicks fans behind him, and he's like, we here! We here right now! We here! We right now! We here! All right, we got that. Even if you say it 15 more times, point taken. What are you trying to say?
This is very intimidating.
ESPN Plus, tonight. Tell me if I'm scared then.
Words are words, Stephen A. This is another one. Say what you want, but you're not going to take on Kwame Brown in a crowded alley.
That was my little last end. Whatever. I mean, if you got any more, but I just thought that was interesting. The fact that he even responded and went down that road.
Even Matt Barnes. If you want to really be a man, then step up like Kwame did and either put up or shut up. But then to say, come on, bro, bring it. Bring it to my podcast. Really? Otherwise, you're always talking on the court and off of it about whose ass you could beat and would beat and should beat and saying all these vile things. And then Kwame comes at you and it's not about any confrontation other than bring it on my podcast.
Yeah. JD's like, Stephen A. Smith couldn't beat up Gilbert. Juggalo Trey would F his ass up. I don't know about all that, but it'd be funny. If I could see Juggalo Trey beat up Stephen A. Smith, I might pay. I mean, I wouldn't want him to get hurt. I would want him, you know, but it'd be funny.
I've got too many on Stephen A., but.
I just thought that was an interesting dynamic. The fact that he's going to use ESPN Plus as that, you know.
But this is what it's become, Nick. We talk about, think about this now. Think about all the different angles that we've taken. Think about all the different episodes with ESPN. We're not talking about the entertainment and sports programming leader that's here to give us pertinent information and breaking news. We're talking about Adam Schefter, who felt necessary to start Aaron Rodgers wants a trade on draft night to get clicks and views on the draft. We're talking about Mike Greenberg for 900 days in a row trying to find a story within the story of Aaron Rodgers. We're talking about a Stephen A. Smith that just wants you to go to ESPN Plus with the setup and the tease, like anything that, like, we're all thinking, oh, Stephen A is going to open up the gauntlet. He's going to throw down. Kwame better look out. No one's thinking that.
I will say this. Kwame is being very persistent. So I guess it could, like going back to our point about accumulation, I guess you have to respond at some point.
But what's he got to lose?
But the way he did it.
Matt Barnes on ESPN. Stephen A's making over $10 million a year on ESPN. Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson and these guys have their podcast that they're trying to build. So they all have something to lose. Kwame was minding his own business, living his life, and they came at him. So if he wants to keep going, and everybody loves it, because everybody loves a good squab lately, and we've seen that even here, but Kwame didn't ask for this, but once he got fully brought into it and aware of it, he's clapping back, and I don't blame him for that.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be interesting where this ends up, but... I you know what? He got my attention only because I always have my ESPN Plus app, like right. on my screen at home. I always have three screens, and I always have like the ESPN Plus app on the one on the right, so it's kind of on all the time. And I do go back and look at the MMA archives. I just thought that was interesting, but he certainly sounded tough.
ESPN Plus tonight. Tell me if I'm scared. Then.
I mean, why? Why? I mean, Stephen A., no. Okay? And here's the other thing. When Russell Westbrook and his wife take offense with what Stephen A. says, he's got to make it four segments on whatever that show is he's on. He was trying to avoid Kwame. Why? He wasn't big enough? He wasn't a big enough superstar to call you out?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, now I was trying not to, but now I got to.
Yeah. First, it was always okay to mention his name and call him a bust. Now it's like, I wasn't even trying to... Yeah.
I'm done with all of it. I mean, it was fun when it was a nice little run and everybody was talking about it. But at this point, you're waiting how many days after the fact, and all of a sudden now?
And what is he possibly going to do you think? Like, what do you think he's actually going to do on the ESPN Plus? Like, is he going to play, like, maybe he's going to play a bunch of clips of, like, Kwame in the past of him just botching plays or something like that? Like, what is he possibly going to do?
Yeah, I mean, so he, again, and you and I went over this when this first started. Kwame Brown beat the system because Kwame Brown came out of high school, and before anybody could get hip to the reality that he wasn't as good as everybody thought he was, he cashed in two major contracts and made a boatload of cash. He wins. He's winning. It doesn't matter if you think you can call him out and say his career was a flop and a bust and he sucked. You know what didn't suck? The fact that his bank account just kept going up and up and up, no matter how much everybody thought he sucked, because it's too late now.
And look, a lot of players are smart enough to get that. We talk about it all the time. I guess if you wanted to give it like a Houston angle, just because I can't think of something else as a better example off the top of my head, Chandler Parsons, right? Didn't you think he wasn't going to get paid after the micro fracture?
Yeah. Memphis made a huge mistake, but yeah, you're right.
And then he got paid.
Well, think about it. Take it a step back. He got more money when Cuban threw it at him when he got 14 a year.
Yeah, it wasn't I thought it was Dallas.
That's the thing. Cuban and Dallas threw it at him first. Wait. So now he's got 1 year left, but he has the option to opt out. Everybody said microfracture surgery. Stay there. Take the one more year at 15 or 16 and then see if anybody will give you another one. He opted out and everybody went, ooh, that was dumb. Because now the Mavs are off the hook. No one else is going to give you that money. And then along comes Memphis at 25 a year. And you're like, well, now who's dumb?
Yeah. And they definitely overpaid. I don't know who was worse, him or Ryan Anderson. It can't be worse than Ryan Anderson. That was a dumber contract, probably.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That was your boy.
Good for Chandler, though, I guess. He got paid. Isn't he like married to someone's, a broadcaster's daughter? Is it Kevin Harlan's daughter? No, that's Decker.
No, Sam Decker married Kevin Harlan's daughter. Oh, yeah. Okay. Boy, Ryan Anderson had a tragic story. They did a long expose on it on ESPN. He was married to a model, and they were engaged. And I want to say either she had issues with depression or something like that, but he left the apartment. I think it was when he was with New Orleans. And when he came back, she hung herself or she killed herself.
Oh, was that the one where he like broke up with her and then she killed himself, or did she just have mental issues?
I don't know if they were broken up, but for whatever issues, whatever the cause of her being depressed or down.
That's sad.
They were still talking and everything. And then he remarried and everything like that. But yeah, that was a really sad deal.
Yeah, that's no bueno.
Y'all are sleeping on Matt Barnes, Nick. Matt Barnes used to train MMA and UFC during the offseason when he played basketball. He's about that talk. Trust me, he ain't scared of Kwame. Have you seen Kwame Brown's 7-foot frame who's not exactly out of shape? Stop talking to me about that. This is another one. NBA guys, they're not about that life. They don't want to fight like that.
No. No, they're not. That's the beautiful thing about looking tough on the NBA. You got 15 players in between you two. Hold me back.
I just, again, and I know too much. There's certain things I'm just not going to bring up.
No, bring it up.
No, but we already know what Kwame was talking about, that Derek Fisher took his girl.
Right.
And all of that goes into that. But you know what? You got bigger issues with other folks if you really want to get into tough guys and fighting. But the fact that you started all this by going at Kwame, and Kwame decided to clap back, and now you want to see who's tougher? Shut up. Stop it. All right, we're knee-deep in the second hour of the program. It's a three-hour extravaganza. Lots more to get to. So lots of opportunities for you guys to get involved as we continue to roll on. We'll kind of get into some other topics as well as the NBA schedule tonight, and if we missed anything from last night. But we're here for you. If there's something you want to get off your chest, you've had on your mind, you want to get it on the program, 713-780-3776. That's our HRNP listener line for calls and texts. Otherwise, hit us on Twitch. Hit us on Twitter. It's Nick and Joel. It's the Press Box ESPN.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Let's go. Fun. Sports. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Might not have many opportunities against Bauer as Correa hooks one to deep left. That ball's gone!
home run number 7 on the year. That gives the Astros a 2-1 lead in the 6th inning.
No, just another win. Another win in the season. A lot of people have said a lot, and I don't mean we go out there every single day and try to win because of what they said. It don't mean much to us. So we just go out there and try to win games day in and day out.
So if you guys are bored, and that was Carlos Correa after Todd Kallas and the AT&T Sportsnet crew did it. That's who I watched last night. I was going to watch to see what kind of angle they were going to take on the Stros, but I'm glad I stuck with the AT&T Sportsnet because it just stuck to the baseball at angles.
More than anything else?
And that's kind of where I needed to be. But it was so sweet to stick it to Bauer. And Bauer obviously had nothing to do with the 17 World Series or any of that other stuff. But, you know, you brought it up yesterday, Nick, starting with Austin Barnes. And then, you know, Kershaw, again, tip of the cap, pitched his ass off. Pitched fantastic, okay? But there's this Molly Knight. Molly Knight has an axe to grind with the Astros, and she likes to get involved. She's a columnist at The Athletic. She's an author of a New York Times bestseller, The Best Team Money Can Buy. She's kind of a Yanks fan, but she always seems to stick her nose right in the middle of anything where there's controversy with the Astros. When the Yankees and the Astros were in it, she was right in the middle of it. Now she goes out and says, Clayton Kershaw went into Houston for the first time since they cheated him there and shoved it down their throats with a World Series ring in his back pocket. Nothing will ever make up for what they did to him in 2017, but that's a decent flex. Why don't you stop flexing for clicks, Mal?
It's the way it's just easy because New York just has sheer numbers. They have sheer numbers alone.
Are you a Dodger fan? Are you a Yankee honk? But why do you always have to be right in the middle of all of this with the Astros?
Oh, so it's not a Yankees gal.
Well, she's got a book. She writes for The Athletic. But every single time anything of like a controversial issue or a series like this pops up, or even when it was the Astros and the Yankees, she's got to be knee-deep in the middle of it just to get clicks.
Yeah, that's what a lot of them are doing. Because, look, again, and even if it's L.A. and not New York, it's still based on sheer numbers. You have a massive, massive market there, and you're not going to build a lot of friends, you know, saying good things about the Astros in those markets, I would imagine. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's just not a good look. Where are you on the St. Louis Cardinals manager? And I was kind of shocked that Charlie didn't bring this up.
I am too.
But the hat incident, yeah. He gets ejected by is it Joe?
Joe West, Cowboy Joe West.
Joe West.
Just broke the record for most games ever umpired by, and we know next to Angel Hernandez, Joe West is the tool.
Correct, except he's a much better ump, right? Isn't that fair to say?
Yeah.
He's still a douche, like a big D-bag, but he's like.
Right, he's Joey Crawford, but he's actually better. Ump. Right,
yeah.
Right.
But apparently they had an issue with some sunscreen or of some sort on the cap. He gets ejected and then goes on this rant. And after the game, before he takes any questions, he goes on for about 4.5 minutes. And I didn't know too much about him, but he seemed like he was being reasonable about everything he said. He's basically saying, yeah, there's a whole bunch of things to cheat about. Just prioritize it a little bit. Go after what matters the most and impacts the game. Don't know if he got suspended or fined for anything. I would imagine he will because he got ejected. But more props to you. I'm okay with it. I like it.
It's Mike Schilt. He's the manager of the Cardinals. And this also goes into the other story, Nick, that I don't know if you saw or not. But this is obviously an issue. And there's also an issue within the issue in which a lot of players in the game think that if you are a big-name pitcher, you're not going to be called for it as much as... Because, again, the pitchers that are coming up in some of these violations aren't exactly frontline Trevor Bauer-type guys.
All world, yeah.
Trevor Bauer's a guy that said, watch me in certain innings, and suddenly his spin rate goes way, way up, almost basically daring you to catch him, saying, I'm going to show you how to get your spin rate up. So implying he's using pine tar or something else for an inning or so. He had all those baseballs sent to the league office during one of his starts, but yet nothing happens to him. But then you've got some random that's pitching for the Cardinals, and he's got sunscreen on his hat, and Cowboy Joe West says, you got to go put a different hat on. And then when the manager comes out and says, well, why, and I don't agree with this, he gets kicked out.
I don't understand that. Apparently, the guy, Gio, always wears the same cap all year.
Giovanni Gallegos. Yeah.
He says he likes the cap. He says that's the one he likes to wear.
Okay, we just talked about Kershaw. Kershaw used to wear that hat that looks like it got stuck on the hitch of a pickup truck and driven through a country and western fight scene, and it had all kinds of crap on it, but no one ever said anything to Clayton Kershaw. So we've said this. We've seen this. Gerrit Cole's been called out about this. We've seen all the Red Sox pitchers that have had it on their arm and on their glove and on their hat. But you can't – this is the same thing with Rob Manfred and the cheating scandal. You can't pick and choose. You know what? If you're going to prosecute one team, prosecute them all. If you're going to prosecute one player, prosecute them all, because it's got to come out. So Josh Donaldson, now the third baseman for the Twins, who's been with the Braves, he's been with a lot of different teams. He's now threatening to release his quote-unquote catalog of cheating pitchers, because he says he's got video of just a large amount of pitchers in Major League Baseball, and he wants it to be known, kind of like what we were talking about, too, that not only are all these pitchers, there's a lot of big names, but baseball, just because they're big names, doesn't want to do anything.
And isn't there a lot of egregious video available? I'm sure MLB has the same archive. I mean, there's some video I'm pretty sure MLB has that are just, it's just obvious that the guy has some sort of substance, either pine tar or some sort of substance that he put together. I mean, in some video clips, it's just like way too obvious, like way too obvious. So if he has like a little catalog, I don't know what his incentive is there. Because honestly, I think MLB has that catalog.
So Dallas Braden, who used to pitch for the A's and was on ESPN, has a podcast. Donaldson comes on it. They use this exact issue. And Dallas Braden says, now Joe West has backed his umpires in the league into a corner. He's going to make somebody enforce it, or he be damned. Or he's going to expose the lack of the desire from MLB to change and enforce this, which isn't a secret. From their bleep, either changes, or we're going to see guys using Velcro, basically calling out it's a problem. Donaldson says, crazy idea here, but I'm going to throw it out there. Stop cheating, which I don't disagree with. Everyone should. If you're, like I said, just police it across the board. So Braden comes back and says, brother, we know the difference between pine tar, rosin, sunscreen, and all the stuff that's being used today. The common denominator with all those things is how, if, when, and to whom they enforce it with. It's horribly inconsistent at best. No precedent is ever the precedent. What's next? And Donaldson says, I agree. I got an entire catalog of video of these guys cheating, and it's coming out.
Bring it.
I want to see it. The same way I want the letter opened. The same way, whether Eric Kratz is the catalyst, and now we talked about more and more guys that have been involved in it, are just going to come out of the woodwork and go, I'm going to tell you what's going on with this team, or I was on a team, or whatever. We knew that it was just a matter of time. But now with this kind of stuff too, now because of what, if Braden's right and what Joe West did is now going to put the pressure on Major League Baseball, it's already past due.
Yeah, it is. And like I said, I feel like in that particular example that you're talking about, I feel like Mike Shield had a good head on his shoulders. I don't feel like he was being irresponsible. I found a little bit of the audio clip if you want to hear it. I felt like he was being okay with it.
Well, a couple thoughts, and I'm sure you're going to have some questions because I've got my fair share of thoughts. First of all, here's what factually happened. Gio comes in the game. I wasn't aware at the moment. I just caught the end of it. Now I'm more privy to how it unfolded. My initial reaction was Joe comes over, walks over to Gio. I don't know what it's really in regard to. It's uncharacteristic. I walk out, see what's going on. He said he needs to change hats. Turns out that Dan Bellino had watched Gio come in the game, and then goes over to Joe, whispers the ear. Joe goes to the mound, and then, you know, listens that Gio needs to change his hat. So why do I take exception with that? Because this is baseball's dirty little secret, and it's the wrong time in the wrong arena to expose it. Because here's the – and make sure I get my words right. Because I got a decent chance of getting fined, and my wife Michelle will, you know, gosh darn it, it's for the integrity of the game. But anyway, here's the deal. First of all, Gio wears the same hat all year, okay? Hats accrue dirt. Hats accrue substances, you know, like just stuff, you know? We pitched in a day game. Did Gio have some sunscreen at some point in his career to change his make sure he doesn't get some kind of melanoma, possibly. You know, does he use rosin to help out? Possibly. Are these things that baseball really wants to crack down on? No, it's not. I know that completely firsthand from the commissioner's office.
What do you think of that?
I like it, and I like where it's going, but it's a slippery slope because, again, it's all fine and dandy. But here's where I'm at listening to that, Nick. The players are basically owning it. They're being honest. He's talking about it from a guy that's in the dugout every day, and he's saying, we know it's going on a daily basis. Josh Donaldson's saying, we know it's going on a daily basis. I hate to break it to people. They also know what was going on and still goes on with stealing signs.
Yeah.
So if you're going to clean it up, then clean it all up.
And it's hard for them. I get it. It's hard to just...
But how hard, Nick? You got...
To police the entire league, it's difficult.
But you have eyewitnesses on a daily basis inside, and guys change teams. There are more Mike Fiers out there, is what I'm trying to say, right? And they are more Mike Fiers that were scorned by one team and want to get back at him,
sure,
or left under the not the most advantageous circumstances for them, and they got issues. Other guys are just like, hey, I'm not playing anymore. I can bring it up. Or managers that are saying, either we all get cracked down on or none of us get cracked down on. But you can't pick and choose. And so the same way he's talking about stuff on the hats should also be parlayed into cheating by teams.
Yeah.
And it should all be cleaned up, because otherwise it's not a dirty little secret if a manager of one of the major league teams is saying, we know what's going on a daily basis. If a third baseman on another team goes, we know what's going on a daily basis.
Yeah. And look, he later in the clip says, look, you know, I don't actually have a problem with what Joe West did. If it is on them, if they have a suspicion, even if it looks like it's somewhat cheating, to go in and address it. And you know what? If I was a guy and I had the suspicion and my suspicion was wrong, if I was going to attack that suspicion, what would I do? I'm like, bro, there's a bunch of caps in that locker room, in that clubhouse. Go get another one. So he's actually not mad at the way he handled it. I think he just wants to prioritize what the hell Major League Baseball should be looking at.
But, okay, you're right. But here's the other thing, too. I don't want to hear the argument of, well, the pine tar is actually safety protocol. Because pitchers don't hit anybody. But not every pitcher's doing it. So we should allow the pitchers that want to do it to have an unfair advantage because of safety.
He says that. Well, he says, what about the players that are doing it right? Is basically what he says, too. So he's kind of on line with what you're saying.
Because the other thing that's perplexing to me, having been a pitcher, I wouldn't want pine tar on my fingers. The same way as I was Brian Abreu, but I threw strikes. In college, I would pitch with five pieces of gum in my mouth. But I would make sure while I was warming up that I would chew it so that I'd get all the sugar out of it. Because if I lick my fingers between pitches and I had just put a fresh piece of gum in, especially bubble gum, which is what I choose, the stickiness, I didn't like it. Because it was too tacky, and I felt I almost lost control of it. Sunscreen to me is just completely mind-boggling. To me, that would make it so slippery that I couldn't control it.
Yeah. And he says some of them want him to use that because they don't want no wild pitches. They don't want to get hit with balls. So
that's what I'm saying. So if you're going to blame this under health and safety protocol, I think it's just time to clean it all up. It's just not one team, every team. Cheating, doctoring baseballs,
everything.
Fingers, and everything. You got to clean it up or it's going to get out of hand. All right, that's 2 hours in the books. We still got an hour to go. Show's flying by. 60 minutes on the clock when we come back. It's the final hour of the program. It's the Press Box on ESPN.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.